from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
Jesus, God sent you in mercy to be Emmanuel, God with us.
Teach us the compassion of God.
Jesus, your life took flesh in the mercy of Mary's womb.
Rejoice in the compassion of Mary.
Jesus, your family took shape in the mercy of Joseph's welcome. Jesus, your holy family knew the struggles of the poor and when they were refused the mercy of shelter in Bethlehem.
Teach us the compassion of God. Lead us in the ways of justice and mercy.
The opening hymn is hymn number 134, There's a Song in the Air.
Would you join me as we pray the prayer of the day together? O loving God, we await the birth of your child, Jesus, whom you sent into the world to show us the way of compassion. Follow Jesus with courage and joy. Please, our human indifference. Open our hearts and our communities that they may be places where your goodness is recognized and your generosity is shown to all our sisters and brothers. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, your beloved child and our brother. Let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our special music is by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir, once in Royal David City, directed by Phil Lewis. The prayer for illumination is led by Becky Snyder.
Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 17. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Listen to this message by our guest minister, the Reverend Howard Ellis.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to talk to you about Mary. Mary, of course, is the mother of Jesus. It seems to me we Protestants tend to ignore Mary. At most, we'll simply distrust her, saying she is the mother of Jesus, or we'll keep her at some distance. We don't want to venerate her in any way, and we're a little uncomfortable with the whole concept of the Virgin Mary. In most churches I've served, we don't really talk too much about Mary, the mother of our Lord. We love to talk about Paul. I mean, we can really preach a lot of fine sermons about Paul. And not that we have anything against women, because we've had a lot of women, famous women, and we don't mind talking about them. We don't mind talking about Joan of Arc, Mother Teresa. It's not that. Yet, there's just a certain uneasiness when it comes to Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. Well, personally, I think we're being kind of unbiblical. Because Mary is the most blessed of all women. It says that in the next verses after. We didn't read it today, but if you get your Bible out, you can read the next verse. And when she goes to the home of Elizabeth, Elizabeth tells her, "You are the most blessed of all women," because of that child that she's carrying. And the Bible never says that about anybody, Paul or anybody. Never said anything about Martin Luther either. The Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the most blessed of all women. So today we really ought to focus once in a while on Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. And I suppose one of the purposes in this sermon is to renew our appreciation for this woman, this fantastic disciple. After all, the Bible does say she is the most blessed of women. In the Bible, in the lesson for today, we first meet Mary. She's a very young girl, about 13. I don't know what you have any idea what a 13-year-old looks like, but if you see a 13-year-old, you might have a good idea. However, I would suspect, just historically speaking, people tend to grow up a little faster today. They may not quite look like a 13-year-old today, but it would be a young female, a very young female. We would definitely say not too mature. This is Mary, and she's engaged. Her father worked out an engagement with a young carpenter, and his name was Joseph. And that engagement, or that period they were in, would last for a year around that. And during that time, Mary and Joseph were engaged or betrothed. They were secretly pledged to one another. And in the Gospel of Luke, our text has this teenage Mary. Now, this is a teenage girl. Remember, this is a young woman. And she has the messenger of the Lord come to her. That's the angel Gabriel. How many 13-year-olds would react to seeing the angel Gabriel? And Gabriel says, "Hail, favored one of Israel, the Lord is with you." Mary didn't know what to make out of it.
And I don't know, I wouldn't know what to make out of it either. But she's puzzled, worried, and afraid. And the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, you know what? If I were preaching a sermon, I could just stop right here and have a text and take right off and have a full sermon. The first thing I would say, we don't have to be afraid. Mary, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of your future. You know, that's the nature of fear when you think about it. Fear always has to be, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? What's going to happen if I lose my health? What's going to happen to me if I'm so sick I can't go to work tomorrow? What's going to happen to me and my family? What's going to happen to me if I die? What's going to happen to those I love? What's going to happen to me if I lose the thing that's most precious to me? For many of you, I suspect it would be your farm. What if you lost that? Don't be afraid. This is what the gospel says. Do not be afraid for your future. The gospel is for you and for me. We are not to be afraid of our future. And the second line we could build the whole sermon on. I have found favor with you, and you have found favor with God. Substitute your own name in there and say, God has found favor with you. And you put your name right in there. You have found favor with God. Elsewhere in the Bible, God says, do not be afraid, for I'm with you wherever you go. What good news it is for us to know that God is with us. We have found favor with God. Well, the angel said to her, you found favor with God, Mary, because you gave birth, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the Anointed One. Mary has questions here, not doubts, questions. She says, me? I'm only engaged. And I've never had sexual relations with anyone. I've never done anything with my husband, Joseph. I have never done that. I don't play around with sex. I've never had sex before my engagement, and I've never had sex now. She says that, and she knows that. But the angel says to her, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Luke said the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Do you realize that's the same word? When you turn to the Old Testament, to the creation story in Genesis, it says the Spirit will hover over you. That same Spirit hovered over the waters before the creation of the world. That Spirit hovered over it from the beginning of time, and God created life over that, in those waters that God hovered over. In the same way, God's Holy Spirit will hover over you, Mary. And in you, God will take shape, and a child will be born, and this child is to be Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Miraculously, the Spirit created life in the waters of creation. Miraculously, again, the Spirit creates life in Mary itself, Mary herself. Mary is overwhelmed. What can you say? The messenger was done speaking, and you know what? You have an aunt. Her name is Elizabeth. And you know, she's old, isn't she? Guess what? She is pregnant, and she's carrying a child. It's a little advanced beyond years. But remember this, with God, nothing is impossible. You know, we said it was nothing was impossible in all of in creation. God did the impossible in your old aunt. And God is doing the impossible in you. God does the impossible all the time. With God, nothing is impossible. Well, we could stop right here again. Again, you've heard the gospel. Nothing is impossible with God. With your life and mine, nothing is impossible. Well, the messenger left Mary and said, Lord, I'm your handmaiden, your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Do with my life, my body, what you want to do. She believed the word of the angel. And Martin Luther said, the only greater miracle than the virgin birth is the miracle that the human heart can believe the word of God. Mary believed it, and you and I can believe that miracle because of the miracle of God's faith in our hearts and our lives. God takes charge, and the angel left. Mary really didn't know what happened to her. She wondered if all this was true, and so she went to visit her old aunt. This is in the next verses. We didn't read this morning, so if you want to know all about that, you're going to have to take your Bibles out when you get home. And she goes to see her old aunt Elizabeth, and sure enough, she looks mighty pregnant. Old as she is, how could that be? And blessed, and then she turns to her and said, Mary, you're blessed among women. Blessed is the child in your womb. You are blessed and you have because you have believed God's word. And Mary explodes in that wonderful song, which we call the Magnificat, but the great song of Mary. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has become my salvation. I am so happy in God, my Savior. Well, we've had a little bit of an expositional outline of that text today. We don't normally do that in my preaching, but just I decided to spend a little more time on that. Well, in what time we have remaining here, and I was told not to go over an hour this morning. I was told one church while I was preaching, he says, now, Pastor, remember that we do have a trap door in the pulpit. Well, it never went off. And I don't think this one's going to go off here. But we'll have you home in time for dinner. Don't worry. But I want to have three reflections on Mary, so you'll have three points to think about. We said that God chose Mary was a humble person. God used a humble person to accomplish his work in the world. Now, that word handmaiden is kind of a fancy word. I don't think we use that word too much. It really means servant. You know what the Greek word for that is? Doulos. And I remember this when I was learning Greek, New Testament Greek. One of the very first words in the vocabulary was doulos, believe it or not. And the reason is, it's all over the New Testament. It means slave. It means, it's not. It's kind of fancy to say handmaiden, but it's Mary is a slave. And slaves were not owned by them, didn't own themselves. You know, in that time, you were slaves, you belonged to somebody. Mary was a servant girl, a slave girl, and she was somebody else's property. But God chose Mary, who was of low and humble birth, to accomplish God's grand purpose. I'm sure if I were planning this and God were doing it, I think I could think of a lot more illustrious people to be the mother of our Savior. Well, I'm sure, and go down to Egypt. There's pharaohs down there. There were famous people. You could go all over the world. Wonder you could go to Rome and could find a wealthy Roman home. Think what a place it would be, what opportunities would be. But no, God choose a person from the poorest and the weakest of all the countries in the world and chose what is low and humble to accomplish his purposes. And I like this quotation. Just as Jesus was born in a humble stable, so Christ today is born only in humble hearts. Christ is born only in humble hearts. That's a potent statement when you think about it. You know, Jesus was born in a stable, not in the palace. So Christ is born also in humble hearts. Proud people, they just don't need God, do they? They just would go the other way. That's the humble who cry out and know their need of God and need God's presence to heal and guide and to forgive them. They know that. God uses humble people. The second thing Mary shows us is that the mother of our Lord had the audacity to believe. She had the audacity to believe that God had chosen her. She said, do with my life what you want to do with it. Are you willing to say that? Am I willing to say that? Lord, do with my life what you want to do with it. Not what I want to do with it, but take my life. She had the audacity to believe that God had chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. Have you ever tried to ask somebody to do something? Well, you get all kinds of answers. Well, I'm not very good at that. In fact, I'm not a very good talker. To do that, I have to stand up and talk in the crowd. And, you know, I'm kind of shy. I may not always say that, but that's what it amounts to. I don't want to be made a fool of. Or, no, why don't you find somebody who's got more time? I'm a busy person. I got a lot of things to do. You ever heard that before? Or here's the one. You better give me a sign. Prove it. I've got to check this out to make sure that God is really speaking to me. Then I'll do it, and I'll believe. Mary is an example for us. Mary believed. God chose her because she believed she was able to put in effect what God had done her. God chose Mary, a common, ordinary person. And God chooses you and me for a purpose. I believe that you are seated here this morning for a purpose because God has chosen you. God chose you to use your life in God's ministry in the world. I know that God chose me, and it certainly didn't choose me because I'm so brilliant and wise and all this and all, so perfect. If you don't believe me, there's a little lady out there in the pews in a red sweater who can fill you in. This is not all glitters at gold up here. I don't think it's very shiny anyway. I know that God has chosen me, and God certainly didn't choose me because of my abilities. God chose me because God is gracious. And I simply know that God has a purpose for your life as well, because God is gracious. God chose you to be an instrument to carry Jesus into the world. And as we carry Christ in our hearts, we are carrying Christ just as Mary did. As we carry Christ into the world, we become God's or Jesus' loving presence in the world. You are a chosen person. If you have the audacity to believe, as Mary believed, you know that God is doing a work through you. You are a carrier of Christ, as Mary was God's instrument. And Mary, you are an instrument of God. I want to add one more point on that. I firmly believe that God not only chooses individuals, but God chooses congregations to accomplish things in the world. I believe that God has this peculiar, particular congregation, California United Church of Christ, to accomplish some good works in the world and to bring the mission of Jesus Christ into the lives and hearts of other people. I believe that God has several great tasks for this congregation yet to do. Now, I don't know all of them, and maybe you don't know all of them, but as our responsibility is to gather and pray and seek and find what God has called us to do to live out that. If you dare to believe that Mary dared to believe in her own life, if you dare to believe that God has something significant for you to do as an individual, extraordinary things will begin to happen. Extraordinary things will happen in this congregation, and extraordinary things can happen in the world around us if we dare to believe that you are chosen of God. Thirdly, very briefly, point here. Mary finally realized the miracle had worked in her, and she broke into a song. Her heart could no longer contain, so she started singing at the top of her voice, "My soul praises God, for he has remembered what a lowly person I am, and he has chosen me. Praise be God. My soul magnifies the Lord." And then, have you ever just felt like you wanted to swell up and sing, even though you can't carry a tune in a bucket? You know, you come to church and you've got others to kind of mumble along and let the good singers carry it. When you're alone, sometimes you just swell up and wish you could just sing because you've been touched by God's Spirit. Then I think this is something what Mary experienced and what we experienced, to be filled with God's power and have his heart burst forth in praise. It's truly amazing what God did through Mary. It's truly amazing what God can do through you and me and you as a congregation. Praise be to God. No wonder her heart was filled with praise as is ours. The young Mary, the mother of Jesus, was to become the carrier of Jesus, Christ within her. What a blessing when anyone is a carrier of Christ within. And this, I guess, is the point of the day. Mary dared to believe this and trust God for everything. No wonder the Bible tells us that she is the most blessed of all women. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.